1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to share with you a story that's very familiar with us from the Bible, David and Goliath. You've all heard that story many times, and some of you have taught that in children's church and lots of things. But I want to look at this story again and pull out a few things that we can think about and that we can apply to our lives and so forth. And so go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we'll go to verse number 2. We'll go to verse number 2 first of all. Look what the Bible says, 1 Samuel 17, 2. And the Bible says, "And Saul and the men of Israel, they were gathered together, and they were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines." And so, if you could, we got a picture. You might picture a valley, and you can see a group of army or soldiers on one side and another group on the other side. But that's what it would have looked like. You would have had all the Philistines gathered up on one side, and then Saul and all of his men gathered on the other side. Now let's look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "The Philistines, they stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel, they stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them." Verse number 4, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines." And when we see the word champion there, probably is not like you and I might think, but he was a challenger, if you would, or he was the champion of the Philistines. He was one that they all looked up to. They represented. He was kind of the leader, if you would, of the Philistines. And so this champion from the Philistines, his name was Goliath. Now, go down to verse number 8, if we could. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, 'Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul?'" He was challenging them, and he was really quite arrogant in his challenge and so forth. But he says, "Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." Verse 10, "And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And verse number 11, "When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." They were terrified. They were confused. They were dismayed. They did not know what to do. They had no idea what direction to go or how they were going to take care of this situation. And the Bible says that they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. Now I go down to verses 16 through 18 and look at what they say here. And the Bible says, "And the Philistine," that is Goliath, "he drew near and he presented himself 40 days. 40 days, morning and evening." So every day when the Israelites got up, they anticipated Goliath was going to show up. And every evening as they would go to bed, they were anticipating that Goliath was going to show up and he was going to challenge them once again to send someone to fight him so that he could prove that the Philistines were more powerful and so that the Israelites were going to have to serve them. And every morning and evening for 40 days and 40 evenings. Now think about that. That is about a month and a half of being challenged like this every day, twice a day.
Now in verse number 17, the Bible says, then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000 and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now, I think it's interesting here that he was taking this to the captain, if you would, of the thousands that his brothers were in, the troops that they were involved in. And so when you think about that, if there was a captain of a thousands, then there were probably several captains of several thousands. And so there would have been literally multitudes, thousands of Philistines gathered on the side of the mountain. And it would have been very, very intimidating to these Israelites that were there. And they were extremely afraid of this situation. Well, let's go to verse number 20. The Bible says, so David rose early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper, and he took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him, as his father had told him to do. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. Every day, Israelites, they would rise up. They knew what was going to happen. Goliath's going to come out. He's going to shout at us, and we're going to shout back at him. And so every day, they would have this whole routine that would happen. And so David gets there, and he sees these things that are happening. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines, they had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David, he left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, and he ran to the army, and he came, and he greeted his brothers. And then as he talked with them, there was the champion, or Goliath, the champion, the Philistines, of Gath, Goliath by name. And he was coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, just like he did every day. And so David heard them. So David actually finally, he hears what they've been enduring and what's been going on. In verse 24, the Bible says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and were dreadfully afraid. I mean, they are super, super afraid. And I can picture in my mind, I don't know, but you have all of these armies on both sides, and you have the valley in the middle, and you have this 9 foot six, 9 foot nine fella come out. He's huge, and he's shouting, and he's challenging, and he's defying the army of the nation of Israel, and he's challenging them that he's going to defeat them and that he's able to defeat them. And so we have this going on forever. I mean, it just seems like for 40 days, every day, twice a day, they would go through this whole thing. And the Bible says here in this verse that the men came out and they heard this just as they had before all the time hearing this. And so, you know, they weren't surprised what Goliath was saying. They weren't surprised by him being there. But what I find is interesting is when they come out this time and David hears it and so forth, they're extremely afraid and they're kind of jumpy, if you would. And I don't know, you know, they just, whatever happened, they it scared them. They were afraid. I remember my grandfather, when he was very jumpy. My mom inherited that. She was very jumpy. My boys would like to drop something just to watch grandma jump. So very young, our dog, or it's not our dog, our son's dog, he's very jumpy. You know, if you drop something, he'll jump straight up in the air almost, and yet he's supposed to be so tough, right? Well, the Israelites were that way. They were jumpy here, and they're afraid, and they're scared of this giant that keeps coming out to deal with them. Now, look at verse number 25. So the men of Israel, they said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? David, have you seen this this giant from the Philistines? Have you ever seen him come up? That's why we're afraid. That's why we're scared. Have you ever? Haven't you been paying attention? Haven't you seen him? This guy is huge, and he keeps challenging us." Well, the next verse, verse 26, then David, he spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach?" And I think that that's a great thing to pay attention to, that Goliath, he was a reproach to the children of Israel. And so what's going to happen, David asks, to the person who removes this reproach or stops this giant from doing this and intimidating and mocking Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David saw more than just an enemy. He saw more than just a giant. He saw the name of God and the people of God being reproached, being mocked, and made fun of, and being challenged, and that's what he saw. And so he's curious about, what are we going to do about this? We can't continue to let the name of God just be reproached over and over again. Well, look at verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, he heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why did you come down here, and why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" They were really, Eliab was mocking David. David was much younger. David was a shepherd. And David, it seemed as though he really didn't know what he was doing, and he really didn't belong there. And Eliab didn't like it that he was there. And he's like, "Well, who did you leave those, you know, those few little sheep that you watch? Where did you leave them?" And he was mocking him and making fun of David. Well, he says, and then he goes on and he challenges David, and he says, "David, I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And that was a very important thing. There was a cause. There was something that needed to be done. The Lord needed to be stood up for. This challenge against God and His people needed to be dealt with and needed to be corrected. And so David asks his brother Eliab, that's challenging him, is angry with him, "Isn't there a cause? There is a purpose. There's something needs to be done." Now, in verse number 30, it goes on and it says, "Then he turned from him toward another, and he said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did." Now, if you can picture David standing there looking at Eliab, his brother, and saying, "Isn't there a cause? Why don't you see that? Don't you see what's happening?" And then he turns to the others on the other, "Isn't there a cause?" And so he's really pleading the case here that something must be done about this giant that is defying the people in the name of God. Now in verse 31, look what it says. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And then verse 32, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now, what a challenge that would have been to David. As a young man, probably maybe in his teens or late teens, possibly, we don't really know, the scriptures don't tell us, but he was a young man and he had been a shepherd for his father. But David realizes something needs to be done about this situation and that there is a cause, there is a problem here. And, I'm willing to go. I will go fight that Philistine and we'll deal with this. And Saul's like, wait a minute, David, you're not able to go against this 9'6" giant, the Philistines, with his armor. You're pretty young and you're smaller than he is. And, he's been in war, since he was young. And you're just a youth and you're really not prepared. You're really not equipped to go against this giant. And you're really not able to. You're too little. Now, I want to share just a thought there. I don't know if when you were growing up as a youngster and you were maybe 10, 12, something like that. I remember it was kind of, I look back now and it might have been a little bit foolish of me to be so anxious. But I remember watching other people mow the grass. They got to use that lawnmower and they got to mow the grass. And boy, I just want to do that. I just want to grab that handle and push it too. But they would tell you, you're too young. You're too little. I should have listened to them, right? And no one likes to be told you're too little or you're too young or you really can't do that. I remember riding with my grandpa on the tractor when we were cultivating the strawberries. And there was a cultivator, and we had a little farm all tractor that had the tires together in the front and so forth. And I'd sit on there, and I would ride while my cousin, he was a couple years older than me, he would drive. And the cultivator on the back was had big iron wheels on it, but my grandpa would sit on there, had a seat on it, and he had things for his feet. And he would steer, he would kind of move the cultivator along the plants that you don't wipe out the plants and so forth. And we would cultivate those things. And I'd like to sit out there and ride with them. My cousin and I, we would talk and on and on. And so we'd do that for hours. And so I remember there finally came a time I just wasn't old enough to do that or, whatever. And I remember we were out there. And one time my grandfather had this other fella doing it. It was kind of like his first or second time trying to do it. And he wasn't doing so good. And my grandfather didn't have a lot of patience with that kind of stuff. But anyway, so he wasn't doing so good, but it had those little tires in the front, they're together, a little farm old tractor. And so you had to go over six rows and go down that row. And then you'd come back six rows. And then every time you'd jog over a row. But you always put the front tires on the left side of the plant. And you rode them right down the side of the plant. And that put the cultivator right where it needed to be. If you got off course there, that was a problem. But I remember Jimmy was his name. And he was doing this. And we'd been out there for a while. And I was sitting on there listening, with Jimmy and whatever, and just watching him learn and watching my grandfather yell at him and everything. And we were going through there. And I remember he made his turn and he came around. And I don't know, he got the front tires on the tractor completely sideways. And now we're going up to the row that we're supposed to have our tires on the left side of the row. And Jimmy's tires are sideways, and they're plowing down the row. And plants are... And my grandfather about lost it. And so he stopped all of that, and then he called me by my nickname, which I'll never share, and said, "Can you do that? Can you do better than that?" I'm thinking, I'm blind, but surely I will be able to keep the wheels straight, all right? And so I'd watch my cousin, so I got to do it. But I remember, and that was kind of the beginning when I began to, kind of go through that age entry where you begin to drive the tractors and do things like that on the farm. But nobody likes to be told you're too little or anything. Well, that's what they're saying to David. David, you're too young. You're too little. You can't do this. Well, look at the next verse here, verse number 34. The Bible says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them.'" David's pretty bold. He says, "I've killed a lion, I've killed a bear. I've gotten the lambs right out of the mouth of a lion and a bear. And this Philistine will be just like that." He says, "Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" I think that's kind of funny. David's like, hey, I've done this, and I've done, and Saul, he's like, "You can't do it, you can't do it," and David does this, and then Saul says, "Okay, God be with you. Here you go." I think Saul was like, "I don't know, this is not going to turn out so good. Not sure how good this is going to be." And Saul goes, and he gets all of his armor. And you can read there that they gather up all of his armor and they put it all together and they put it on and then it's not going to work. Look at verse number 40. Jump down to verse number 40. "Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. He's put on Saul's armor. It's too big. He's never tested it, he says. And so he takes it off and he doesn't want to use Saul's armor. And so he gets a staff, and then he gets 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine, and so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield, he went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He mocked him and made fun of him, for he was only a youth. He thought, this is no challenge at all. He's just this young, ruddy, and good-looking young man, and why are they sending him out here? Verse 43, "So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? You're coming out here with a stick? You know, I'm not a dog that you're going to shoo away. You think I'm a dog?' And the Philistine, he cursed David by his gods," the Philistines' gods, in verse 44. "And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.' And then David said to the Philistine, the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you, look at this now, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. David came trusting God. And he comes, he says, I'm coming in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm not coming with spears and javelins and all of the armor and the things that you have, Goliath, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, you have mocked. And this day the Lord is going to deliver you. He will deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you and take your head from you. That's a pretty brave statement, isn't it? And verse number, next part here. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know. Why were we doing this? That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That there is a God in Israel. And that God is going to defend his people. Verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now, I want you to take that right there, what we just read, that passage. And did you hear what David was saying? He was saying, all of these things, me coming out there to Goliath as a young man with a stick and a sling and five smooth stones, I am going to defeat him. But he says, it is going to be done in the name of the Lord. God's going to do it. Now, notice what I want you to see is the Lord's going to do this. But remember what we just studied a couple of weeks ago from Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the battles of Gog and Magog. Remember what that was talking about and how the victory comes. The victory did not come through Israel's armies. It did not come through their strength. It actually ends up coming through God stepping in and delivering them, God rescuing them, because God will always watch out for his people. And even here in this story of David and Goliath, way back in the Old Testament, the Lord is watching out for his children, for his people, and he's going to deliver them. And David knew that it was not he that was going to do it, but that it was God. He knew that when he defeated the lion and the bear, that that was God that rescued him and brought him through those circumstances. And he knew that it was going to be God that was going to take care of him in this battle against this giant. And so he's like, it's the Lord. You're defying God, and you're defying God's armies. You're going against God, and he says, but the Lord is going to deliver his people. He's going to take care of it. Now, look at verse number 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and he came, and he drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David's not slowly walking out there, kind of intimidated at all. David goes running out there into the valley towards the giant. And then verse 49 says, then David put his hand in the bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead. I mean, the rock actually makes an indention in this giant's head. And the rock sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. And so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. It was a smooth stone and the slingshot. and he hits the giant in the forehead. The rock goes into his forehead, and he falls flat on his face. Verse 51, and therefore David ran, and he stood over the Philistine to took it, and the Philistine, he took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now, can you picture this young lad, David, going out there, chucks that stone through the slingshot, boom, down goes Goliath. He runs out there, and, you know, he's not even intimidated. He's not even wondering, is he going to jump up and grab me or what's going to happen? He goes and he gets the sword, and I can see him. He probably just jumps on that guy's back and just whacks his head off, and picks the top of his head up and takes it with him. And everybody, the Philistines, they fled. Because Goliath was their powerhouse. He was the one that everybody was afraid of, but not David. And so David deals with it here. Verse 54, and David, he took the head of the Philistine and he brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. David killed Goliath that day. He defeated him. Now, I want us to catch a few points here. If you want to jot these down, you can. Just they're really simple things for us to catch and to learn, but I think that it will be helpful for us. David ends up defeating Goliath that day, and I want you to see something. It was not because of his plan. It was not because of his plan. It was not because David was so clever and he came up with a great scheme and a great plan and a means of attack of, oh, we'll go around him and come this way and that. No, it was not because of his plan that he had a victory here. It was because he was on the Lord's side and he was doing the Lord's work. Now, another thing, he defeated Goliath, but not because of his power, not because David was so strong, not because he had great armor on, because he didn't. It was not because of his power that he had in himself. He didn't have any. I believe it was his confidence in God, his trust in God and believing God and depending on God that God was going to do this work. And so it wasn't because of his plan, it wasn't because of his power, but I believe it was because of his dependence on God. And sometimes in our lives, we face impossible situations that seem extremely difficult and extremely unlikely and nearly impossible, and humanly speaking, they are completely impossible. But when we depend on the Lord and we depend on God, God can do anything, can't he? God can do anything, can't he? Okay. Ooh, scared me there. I thought you dozed off. All right. Look at another thing. David had nothing to really rely on. He had no weapon. He had no weapon. He left Saul's armor. He didn't take that. He got five stones. He had what he was familiar with, but he didn't really have a sword or a weapon to go into a battle with. So he had no weapon. He really had no experience in battle. Remember, that's what his brother Eliab told him. This guy, Goliath, he's been in war since he was a teenager. David, you've never experienced a warfare. You don't know what you're getting into. You don't know. This is going to be bad, David. Don't try it. So he had no weapon, and he had no experience. David... total dependence was on God. And look at this, it was on God. He relied completely on God, on God's ability, not David's. He relied on his ability, that is God's ability, Church, as we go through things in life and circumstances happen and trials come and so forth, and there's so many times we don't have the answer and maybe we don't have the resources and we don't know what's next and so forth, are we understanding, are we relying on the Lord's ability to do what it is that he wants to do and what needs to be done? And so David saw that, listen, the people of God are being defied. They're being mocked. God's name is being mocked and made fun of, and that shouldn't be. And he knew that God would not be pleased with that, and he relied on God's ability to deliver him from the giant Goliath. He also relied on his faithfulness, that is, God's faithfulness, that God had delivered him in the past from the lion and from the bear. He had relied on, God had delivered him in the past, and so he relied on the Lord's faithfulness and his power. It wasn't in his, it wasn't in himself, it wasn't in the things that he had, it wasn't in his strength, it was in God's faithfulness and God's power. That's what he relied on as he went into this battle. And so God's faithful, and God was faithful to him. And oftentimes we think that, you know, God's not there, or he doesn't show up. You know what? God always shows up on time. He oftentimes does not show up early. He shows up on time. And he shows up when we're weak. He shows up in our weakness, when we need him more than anything else. The Lord shows up. And so when I look at this story of David and Goliath, it's one that we've heard. We've heard it many, many times. But can we catch that lesson there that, you know, our strength and all that we do in the flesh, it's not going to get the job done. Are we relying on the Lord? Are we depending on him? And are we trusting him that, you know what, God's been faithful in the past, he'll be faithful to his people in the future, and are we relying on him and his ability to lead us and to guide us and to direct us in the situations in our lives, individually, in our church, in our church family? Are we depending on the Lord and his ability and his faithfulness to lead us and to direct us and to follow him? And so that's the challenge that I want to lay before us, is that, you know, we don't have all the answers. People sometimes ask me questions about this, that, or the other, and it's like, you know, I don't know. But I know that the Lord will do what the Lord chooses to do, and I know he'll be faithful, and I'm not going to put the Lord in a box that he can't do this or he can't do that. God can do what he chooses to do, and he will do what he chooses to do. And so I don't know, maybe there's some Goliaths, though, in your life personally, in your family's life. Maybe there's different things that you would consider a Goliath, something that seems that difficult, that you're not, you just don't know what to do with and how to handle or how to deal with. I want to challenge you, rely on the Lord. Rely on his faithfulness to you in the past. Rely on his ability, not our own. Not our strength, not our weapons, but rely on the Lord, that he will lead us and he will guide us and he will direct us. And he has the ability to do his will and work through us. So I want to leave you with those thoughts, all right? Well, let's stand together if we could. And let's go to the Lord in prayer if we could. Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for the day that you have given to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are found in it. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to lean on you and to follow your direction in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the truths that we can find in your word. May we apply them to our hearts, Lord, that we might walk closer to you. Lord, if we're facing Goliaths, Lord, giants, real serious difficulties in our lives, Father, I pray that you would help us to rely on you, to lean on you, and to depend on you, that you would guide and direct us through each trial. And we pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you could help us, if you're able to, we need to stack these chairs, at least that section there, for the daycare, right, Josh? Is that all that we need? Okay. And that would be great. We'll put them in stacks of six, I think works good. All right. God bless you. Thank you very much. Don't forget Saturday.